Welcome in to 11 Personnel presented by Monticello Bank. Nick Roush here with Adam Luckett after the Wildcats took down number 6 Ole Miss on the road at Vaught Hemingway Stadium. And I know it's been 4 days since. And typically this is more of a preview show, Mr. Luckett, but we got nothing to preview, so we might as well dance on their graves a little bit longer. Why not?
Win in Rome or win in Idle Week or win in Bye Week. So, yeah. Like, Nick, I'm kind of, like, fascinated to see what I see from what – like, Ole Miss South Carolina game fascinates me this weekend. Like, absolutely fascinates me. I cannot wait to watch that game and watch a lot more games. I mean, this weekend. It's going to be fun.
Kentucky's best game versus Kentucky's worst game.
Yeah, essentially, yes. Like, you know, I wasn't surprised that Carson Beck went out and threw for half a mile against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Once they turned it loose. So I'm absolutely fascinated by what South Carolina can do against this Ole Miss offense. Was Ole Miss just like paper tigering us? I don't think they were. But were like on offense, were they just?
Yeah.
I don't think they were. But I'm fascinated to see that game.
Well, yeah. Especially because Kentucky just completely crushed their rushing attack, and that really hurt them. And they got really zeroed in on Trey Harris, which I would get zeroed in on Trey Harris too. That guy's really good at football. But I saw a headline this week on Ole Miss Spirit, OM Spirit, our on 3 website, and it was Caden Priestcorn has 10 catches this season. He had 10 catches in the Sugar Bowl or whatever, Peach Bowl or whatever game there was played in last year. He's not really been a part of the offense. Jordan Watkins was a pretty big part of it last year. I mean, he was a nice second, third option for him. He has been non-existent. There's a lot of people who are pretty angry. So angry, so lucky that we had Jackson Dart wake up on Sunday morning and call a players-only meeting. Not an ideal time to be calling a players-only meeting after your first SEC game. I'm glad at least if Kentucky did something similar, we just didn't say it out loud. You can have those player meetings. Just don't call it a players only meeting. That's when things just don't sit right. Don't sit well.
I think that's a sign of the pressure that team is feeling. Again, I think we talked about this on Rapid Reaction.
Mm-hmm.
This season was very much an all-in season for Ole Miss. And it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to this loss, because that's not something I don't think anyone down there saw coming from a galaxy away or a mile away, whatever term fits better there. Because they were all in on the playoff, and their schedule, Nick, really kind of set up for them going into like LSU, a place they don't have any success, undefeated, and that was the game. Go undefeated, beat LSU at LSU, and then you're probably going to the playoff. And now it's like, well, hell, that didn't go as planned. And so now they're in a hole. But at the same time, you know, the script got flipped. If you're Kentucky, they flipped the script by winning that football game. And now they have a chance to go and play for stuff that matters, I think, here in October and November. And that looked like in something that was impossible when we left Kroger Field in week 2.
It is. And here's a sentiment that I'd like to share again that you should be reminded of the next time something like this happens. And it's something we said back then. We were certainly, it's not to say that we were just overjoyed and thrilled by what happened, but it is just one game, and it was only week 2. It was very early in the season. They still didn't know who they were. We had no idea who they were either. They're still, I think they figured out who they are, and that's helping them kind of build on top of things. But it does. I mean, the people who like the takes, Mark Stoops, does he even care about his job anymore? Does he even like coaching? And those are the ones that are always the most ridiculous to me, like at the effort base. Remember when people got mad at Malik Monk for laughing on the bench when they're getting their ass kicked down at Florida? Just like, this is silly. You think he wanted to lose that game and he thinks it's hilarious? No. that was, I mean, Mark Stoops, he looked like he really cared about his job after that game when he's firing up the crowd and he's dropping F-bombs. Like, some of those week two takes, I know that they're emotional, and I understand, too, that they were, it wasn't just that performance. Like, that was the kind of cherry on top of the kind of months that they had stacked up, the losses that they had stacked up over the past couple of years. But this is a completely different team. It's a different quarterback. It's a different offensive coordinator. Like, there's a lot of new stuff. They were figuring things out. That game got away from them. And, you know, I didn't know how they would respond. You predicted that they would. And when they came out punching against Georgia, it showed that this team had a little bit of resolve, a little bit of resilience to them. And they just kept they punched through the gray, or whatever the hell that saying was that Stoops said a few years ago. And they just stacked them up until you got to this point against Ole Miss, where and here's the other thing too, like, it as much as we'll treat that South Carolina game as the four alarm fire it was, I mean, in hindsight, like, that you take away a lot of the penalties and you just fall on some jump balls, that's a completely different ball game. So we couldn't handle losing to that Shane Beamer guy again. We lost our damn minds over it.
There are statistical data points in swings in that game you can realistically point out to explain why it happened now. But if you tried to do that in a moment, you look like an idiot, right?
Oh, yeah. You're just water, carrying water. Yeah, yeah.
So you just have to – I think you really have to almost just throw that game out, because it's been nothing like their other performances, right? No. They snowballed on them. I think coaching-wise, offensively, they got caught a little bit, and they weren't prepared to kind of handle South Carolina's pass rush. And South Carolina's pass rush just absolutely just took over the football game. And so I think that's a lot of what happened there. But I think you hit on a good point. I think they left that game and figured out who they want to be offensively. And it's not very pretty. Nick, on 27 of 40 first half snaps, they were in 12 personnel. That is an insane amount. An insane amount. They ended up right at 53% snaps for 12 personnel.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you don't see, you know, I didn't look up the numbers to kind of compare them. Like NFL teams, a heavy 12 personnel team, I think, is like 30%, 35%. Like, that is an insane number to be in 12 personnel. And they are in that because Bush Hannon even said this, everything we're doing offensively is based, you know, start with the protection first and then go from there. And so the tight ends are playing a huge part, I think, in the protection and in the run game. And so that is kind of where they are right now. And it's not pretty football on offense. It's a glorified wildcat at times. It's let's just gain 3 yards here on first down so we can get to maybe a 3rd and 5 on third down. It's hitting Dane Key as kind of a possession receiver over the middle of the field. It is not a very sexy offense, but it has been effective because it allows them to play to their strength as a football team. And their strength as a football team is this defense. Like, this defense, I said before, this Ole Miss game, like, the Georgia game was really impressive, and I thought what they did in the first 3 weeks was impressive. I thought leaving the Ole Miss game, we're going to know how good this defense is. Is it legitimate top 10 caliber, or is it like maybe a top 15 defense, but definitely 15 to 25 range? I leave that game thinking, well, this is a top 10 defense. Like, I leave that game thinking, well, this is probably going to be Stoops' best defense, you know? The Maxwell Harrison thing is tricky.
Yeah.
But they just went and played the way they did without him. You know, we realize, like, you see why they added DJ Waller. Like, you see why they added him in that game. Like, he played it well. You see why JQ Hardaway was the prospect he was coming out of high school. You saw it a little bit with Ryan Nichols. What I'm the most worried about, if Harrison is out, where's Nichols at with his shoulder? Because then I would get worried about the defense, is if it's just Waller and Hardaway, and then they, you know, because it seems like Dunn that they haven't really put out there. So I guess you would have to play Jansen Dunn out there. So that's where I would be worried a little bit. But overall, like the defensive line is a real deal. It's not just Deion Walker. But when Deion Walker's playing like he did on Saturday, it changes things. The second possession of the game, he literally stopped him by himself. Like he almost didn't need 10 other players out there. Like he literally stopped him by himself. And then a key part in this game, Nick, and you talked about it, you thought they would stop the run. They were stopping the run with light boxes. They weren't having to sacrifice numbers from deep. And D-line has a lot to do with it, but when you play these fear and shoot super spread schemes, there's a lot of pressure on your linebackers. And you got to see it right, and you got to fit it right. A misfit by a linebacker can turn a 3-yard gain into a 15 to 18-yard gain against this type of offense, and then that's when the tempo gets rolling. There was one of those, and the Deion Walker had the guy dead to rights, and Parrish just slipped out running the third quarter. Everything other than that, even the QB run stuff Kiffin tried to do to put ahead with an extra hat in the run game, they just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't block them. And I think you got to give Derrick Jackson and Jamon Dumas Johnson a lot of credit for fitting up the box, for instincts and playing. And Dumas Johnson, right before the 4th and 7, what could have been one of the plays of the game, Parrish was in the open field. He was out the gate. And Derek makes an incorrect because he was backside. Jamon Dumas Johnson was blocked up. They had it blocked up. And Jackson just makes a great play. Stops him for I think they lost a yard on that. That could have ended up being a play of game. But overall, the linebackers were just awesome. The whole front was just awesome. And J.J. Weaver, I think, is not getting talked about enough. Like, he's all of a sudden, he's winning on the edge consistently. And he's been he was a menace in that game.
This is a little off topic, but have you noticed that, what the hell's going on with Pop's name? Like he was Pop. Now he's not Pop. The back of his jersey doesn't say Dumas Johnson. It just says J Johnson, J period Johnson. Is Dumas Johnson just too big for this jersey?
I didn't notice that. I would guess it's just too many words or letters.
Cause you think, Brown Stevens, that's close to Dumas Johnson. That's kind of close to the amount of letters.
You want to do the math right quick?
I'm not good at math. I did do some math today, though, on Deion. I was like, man, how many snaps is this guy playing? All but 13 of them in SEC play, which is just ludicrous. And some Weisenheimer was like, that's not as impressive as you think it is. Like, that's not a good thing. What are you talking about? You want your best player playing as many snaps as possible. He misses 4 a game, 4.25 a game against SEC folks. He's played 83% this entire year, and that's missing, just like not playing for a couple series against the G5 teams. I mean,
yeah.
It's the only Childress and Djack have played more snaps. That's insane for somebody his size. He's leading the team in pressures and hurries, not getting the sacks and stuff that you see, Luckett. But I feel like you just see him in the backfield and the quarterback's running for his life, So, that just because you're not getting him down doesn't mean you're not affecting the play.
Yeah, again, just a special player. And that snap count, Nick, when we get in the draft time, that'll be a big talking point around Walker.
Yeah.
Like, look at the snap, volume of snaps he played for them. In the different positions, all that.
You don't want your best player playing every snap. What are you talking about, TaylorMade? That's the most. Yes, you do. You want them playing as much as possible. That's why we put Limbone at quarterback. Just give him the damn ball. I don't care if he knows how to throw it or not.
Well, typically, a defensive lineman, you don't see that because you want to keep them fresh for a game and for a season. But I think one of Walker's biggest strengths has kind of been his endurance.
Yeah. And his ability to still be playing at a high level. Like, it'd be one thing if we don't have to have the conversations like, are they playing him too much? Are they asking him to do too much? We said that, was it 2 years ago when JJ came back from injury and they had all those edges that were hurt and he had to just play more than he was ready for? I forget who all got hurt that year. But we've seen that before. That's not the case right now. Get a bye week for Deion, let him get his legs back under him, and then get ready for this Vandy game. He's just playing out of his mind, playing at another level. The defense really in general is. And did we roll through any of those defensive statistics the other night, Luckett? I don't know if we had those pulled yet by Monday or not.
I do not think we did.
It's one of these things where between talking on here and talking on the radio and video, I forget what I say and where. It gets me in trouble all the time with my wife. Like, yeah, I told you about the golf scramble, and where's it on the calendar? And then I say, thought I wrote it in the calendar. I didn't write it on the calendar. But I did write down some of these statistics. Kentucky's top 20th in havoc rate right now. They're 18th. They're also ranked in the top 20 in third down defense, total defense. So teams right now, 30% of the time, Kentucky's stuffing them. Total defense, 244 yards a game. That's ninth in the country. Rush defense, 78 yards a game. Ninth in the country, 2.8 yards per carry. They're top 15 in scoring defense, top 20 in SP plus. They're number 12 in success rate. And right now, they're top 25 in overall success rate. Like it. They're just the defense.
Rate differential. Yeah.
Yeah. So those stats are brought to you by Monticello Bank. Shout out to Monticello Bank, our presenting sponsors. The numbers matter at Monticello Bank. They matter for this Kentucky defense, and it's where people matter. So shout out to Monticello Bank, proud presenting sponsors of 11 personnel. They'll get the numbers on your side, just like that Kentucky defense. Go visit them at one of their locations or visit them online at nbcbank.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. I've been tasked to do a little midseason report card like it, and I started with the offense. Really hard to grade the offense when, like, compared to the defense, because it's like, well, it's I don't know if it was like this in your family. It really wasn't in mine. Like, we were all smart kids, but not to brag, but you know, it's having the honor roll A student. And then the kid who you just hope gets C's. Like, that's what the Kentucky offense is right now to the Kentucky defense. Where it's like, hell yeah, C's. Let's go, offense. Like, that's winning football. But, like, that, that's all you need, right? Like, being 14th in the SEC in passing sounds awful. But I think Brock Vandegrift's playing well. And I think they're getting better. So, if you grade them on a curve like it, you're yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about where the offense is, even though typically I would say a C is a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, yes, they're below average power conference offense, I would say right now, but you can see the arrow pointing up. Again, like you do, there is some grading on a curve needed. The one big thing skewing the data a lot. I love the BVG pick we got here. Shout out YouTube Dan. But the one thing skewing the data here, Nick, to me, the South Carolina game was just how awful it was, you know? You know, and the Georgia numbers are not great, but that's the Georgia defense. Every other game, he's up over 8.7 yards per attempt. So, and he's over 64% completion rate in all of those games. Southern Miss, Ohio, and Ole Miss, you know? And the Ole Miss is the big one. That was the one that I think they went out and proved that they could throw the ball a little bit against a good defense. What I think is a good defense. Now, them being to their passing game success was just them being really committed to running the ball, even though it was ugly. Them trying to get the run game going. It was pretty ugly on Saturday. They made it known, I thought, by their design that they did not believe they could block Ole Miss inside. They're two defensive tackles. They pretty much did not run the ball inside. And so like, if that goes away, this rush efficiency, you need, like, the pass game to pick it up some. And we saw they could a little bit. You're seeing the Danky kind of wide receiver one evolution before our eyes, last two games especially. I'm just becoming the clear, and I wrote about this, a clear number one guy. And I wrote about this on KSR Plus right now. Go ahead and join us. If you haven't, you won't regret it. Fastest growing, I would say, Big Blue Nation fan community on the internet. Deep dive football content, recruiting stuff. Madness is starting. We're going to have a lot of basketball content on there. The message board, just worth the price of admission alone. But if you want some other stuff, we got some other stuff on there too. But anyway, like he's winning over the middle. Go ahead.
I was just going to compliment you on your film review, because if you want to, like that throw that Brock had that you clipped, that is pretty awesome. So promo code BB and 50% off. Sale ends at midnight. So please do yourself a favor. Yeah. Go hop on now.
And so like Dane's winning over the middle of the field. You can only throw over the middle of the field if you get linebackers and safeties out of the way in some form or fashion. Whether it's safeties dropping deep because they're afraid to get, they don't want to give up explosive plays, or it's linebackers getting downhill because they're afraid of the run game. I think Kentucky, they've been really committed to establishing the run. That's given them throwing lanes across the middle. Dane Key is winning. He's making tough catches, getting tough yards across the middle, and that's kind of their bread and butter right now, I would say. And now can the go ball to Barian Brown, can that get him going? I think that's the next step for the offense, really getting seven going.
Yeah.
And then we've seen some schemed up stuff to the tight ends, Nick. Really, in the one Caddis dropped.
Yeah.
He just slipped and fell. He was wide open, and it was a schemed up. He was schemed up. They had Dingle on a wheel that Brock Vandergrift just missed. He had Dingle wide open, kind of a delay crosser that got tipped at the line. And then you had the middle screen, the Willie Rodriguez for an explosive game. Like, he's scheming up some good stuff, I think, to the tight ends. And that's keeping the defense's balance when they're in 12 personnel. And now you just need to see, can Barry and Brown start becoming a playmaker for you? And if that happens, then you can really see it coming together for this offense.
Yeah, and that's because, you said, you got the one going with Dane Key. He has as many receptions in the last two games than he had in the first three, and more than twice as many yards. He's been on a tear as of late. And it does feel like there's times where Brock might be forcing a little bit to Dane, but so what? Good things happen when you throw it to Dane. I'm fine with forcing the issue a little bit when Dane is as reliable as he is right now. And just getting that one from Barry, and you feel like this huge exhale. And there's something, I believe you mentioned it at one point, but, you know, and I was scrolling through like the EPA numbers and stuff like that. Kentucky's played really good defenses. You know, like Ole Miss and South Carolina are both top 10 in EPA. I was surprised Georgia wasn't up there. Granted, that Alabama shootout didn't really help them a whole lot. But those were good defenses. Vanderbilt doesn't have that. Neither does Florida. And Auburn has been okay, but still not great. So here's your opportunity, offense. You feel like you've seen some stuff. You kind of know, like you said, you know how to scheme things up to your tight ends. You got a good mix of when to take your shots with max protection, when to try to leak them out. So like I think there's a right formula there. And now just get some teams that you can do it a little bit more easily on. So, like, if you can play well against Ole Miss, go show us what you can do against a more porous pass unit for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, to me, that's the biggest key. Just see improvement, incremental improvement from the offense here moving forward. I think we know what this defense is.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're probably going to play pretty close to the standard, but it's a full season. At some point, some team is going to find a way to score on them. And, you know, we have to see how the cornerback situation shakes out long term.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But for the most part, I think they're going to be able to shut down almost most offenses they play to a certain extent. But how good Kentucky can be and how many wins they can get is going to be determined, I think, offensively. Just keep improving, keep getting better. I think Saturday was a big step forward. You can see it, I think, with Brock Vandergrift here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're doing some good stuff in the run game. And then now the passing game is starting. You're starting to see it a little bit more. And then the offensive line is getting better. I thought Dylan Ray played good, Nick, left guard, mm-hmm. in that football game. He had his fair share of wins against Walter Nolan. And Walter Nolan might be a first-round pick come April. And so I thought that was a promising sign. They're still getting beat too quickly on edge pressures at tackle. But that's as good as of ever edge rushing group they're going to see. Like, I think you could argue Ole Miss and South Carolina as good as anyone in the country from an edge rushing standpoint. So you're going to get some better matchups moving forward. And then what can this offense, how good can they get, and can they keep getting better? If they do, this is a team that, Nick, it's going to be dangerous for everyone to play. Dangerous. The defense presents a lot of problems. They play, and offense can, has proven it can play complementary football. So if it just gets better in the complements, they're going to be a team that I think can be pretty dangerous. And I'm going to say this again, like, Vandegrift is tough. This kid is tough.
Mm-hmm.
He's scrambling, getting runs on third downs. He's taking shots. He's taking hits. It's not pretty. It's gritty yards, but he's a tough dude. And you don't, and like, to me, his body language is, I think he's just got great body language during a game. He's never too high. He's never too low. He's just playing football, and he's very even keel. And then to me, to hit for him, I wrote about this in the film review. It's not necessary, as I think Stoops has said, it's Berriam wasn't the number one option. Like, they've got Dane on a dig, and that's what they've been throwing to all year. So you have to think Dane on the dig to the right. They're right. Looking at the dig. Like, you have to think pre-snap, that's probably what you're looking for, is hit him on a dig. And Dane would have been open because they're in man coverage, six-man pressure. But Brock didn't even look at Dane. You can watch the play. Didn't even look at it. He saw it was pressure, knew he was going to get heat. He knew he had a one-on-one with Berrien. And as soon as Berrien didn't get jammed at the line, the ball was going out there. And he made a great throw. I mean, absolutely awesome throw. Because where he threw it was up outside the numbers, away from the cornerback. And it was only where Brown could get it. And if Brown didn't get it, it was probably going to become the defender push. So I think it was great probability it was going to get caught or be a PI there. So it was a great throw. I'm glad to see it ended in a catch. Berrien, like, dropped a subtle move at the top of the route, which we haven't really seen from him very much.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice to see, to create that, a lot of separation there. And that separation was what allowed him to do the cutback to gain the additional, 20 yards or so. I think he showed some cods, you know, like he's got this even keel demeanor and he's tough, but in crunch time, I thought he showed some balls, some guts. And that's something you can build off of as an offense and as a team, because that builds belief in your quarterback. And if you have an offense that has belief in your quarterback, that can really kind of have an avalanche type effect in a good way, I think, for your group.
Yeah, I first saw it on that Georgia game when they had a free blitzer. He was dropped back to the end zone, dodges it, first snap, takes off and runs. You could very well see a scenario where that dude would have been rattled after the South Carolina game, and he wasn't. He just came back out there. That play, though, that if things go well, that's going to be a turning point kind of moment, right? Like, that's going to be this is where we saw him turn it on. This is where we saw him turn it around. And so I like to liken it to, you got this kid from the portal who's a good shooter, and you're pretty sure he's a good shooter, but he starts cold. And then, all right, now he's got three or four. He had a game where he knocked down three or four. So let's just keep stacking them up, you know, go to the free throw line, just start stacking up these games where you don't have to be a flamethrower and come out and Reed Shepherd it and make 50% of your shots offense. We don't need you to do that.
Yeah.
But we need you to keep you. We had your game. We know that the monkey's off your back. You can make the lids off the bucket. You can make a shot. Now let's just keep stacking days, keep getting better. Let's see the ball go in the net a few times.
Yeah, I get, yes. Because you want to see, can he consistently do it? I think he's done it three games in a row, played well, but keep doing it and see him again. I think you want to see incremental progress. They're not going to come out against Vanderbilt and all of a sudden be a top 10 offense. But you want to see them progressively get better. And you want to see them keep the balance, be able to run the football, be able to throw the football some. And if you can do that by November, I think you could be a real problem.
It would be funny, though, if all of a sudden Berrien's just doing the EA Sports, right? Like, he's like, oh, we got one go ball, and all of a sudden we're just catching them all, right?
Right. He turns into Jamar Chase overnight on go balls. Yeah.
Oh. Which, by the way, playing that game, I've only done it once, and it was three quarters. But, yeah, you just throw it up to Berrien and good things happen. When in doubt, just give it up to that guy. So if we can find that guy, then maybe top 10 offense isn't so
Yeah, anyone that played the video game and saw that highlight wasn't surprised. They're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is what he does. You know, he just goes by people. Which, yeah. Peak mentioned this at the time. The damn video game simulation is just, it's on right now. So, great job, Peak. I do think we have another bad loss coming up, though, if it's going to go up to par.
I think,
right?
I think they win these next two, and then they drop a dud against Auburn.
Yeah, I think they drop a dud against Auburn, but don't they win at Tennessee and then lose to Louisville? Like it's total banana land. Which, you know what, we're already there. You know, might as well keep riding this banana land coaster.
Yeah, I definitely could see that. And I, you know, last time Kentucky went there, and I really felt bad for the fans because that was kind of an all in moment. That was as much all in, I think, the fan base has been on the football program, was that 2021 season.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this hot start and this kind of NFL first round quarterback 2022. You go and beat Florida. Like, people were all in. You went to Oxford the first time in a decade. A lot. I mean, that's the most I've seen at a Kentucky football game. I mean, it was an incredible amount. And they should have won that game. And they didn't. That was kind of, they kind of unraveled a little bit as a program coming out of that.
Like, yeah.
They could never kind of get their mojo back. And I feel like they got their mojo back by start playing in the mud again. Like, start playing Mark Stoops football again. And it was very rewarding, I think, for the fans there to kind of to deliver that win when you least expect it. And deliver a road win. I mean, that was Nick, that was the win that everyone said Stoops couldn't do, right? Like, that was a mark on the resume that everyone wanted to point to, that, oh, he doesn't have that box checked.
Can't beat SEC West teams on the road, right?
Or just even like a good top rank, whatever your arbitrary number is to plug into that spot.
Top 10 team, winning record SEC team, whatever it might be.
Yeah, and so he went and did that. Now he's done that. We'll see how they end up. But he's really done that three times since 2018. Like, he went and beat a good Florida team in 2018 that ended up being the top 10 team everyone wants them to be. But no one says that because they were ranked like 25th at the time. Then he beat a top 10 Florida team that ended up not being any good. But at the time, that place was on fire. And that was probably the best Florida played all year, was at the beginning of the year. And then now he's done it to this one. And I still think that Ole Miss, even if it went bad, they're going to be an 8-4, 9-3 team. Kind of like on that fringe. So that was a good, I mean, as good of win and unexpected. It was just, I think, a win that they needed to get. They've been close. And then they got it. And how, in the context of the season, it kind of flips things. And now you've got a run here. You know, we still got to address the home record. And that's going to get addressed. Like, they got to start winning some SEC home games.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As of right now, I think the Florida and Auburn game could kind of be considered toss-ups. Vanderbilt's a game you should win at home. You'll be a double-digit favorite. But they're going to be a betting favorite in all three of those games, I think, as of right now. If you could just take care of business, then you've got then you're just – I don't even talk about the Tennessee game. Then you're just in the conversation. If you have two losses and you're an SEC team entering November – they have to talk about you for this playoff. They have to. You're in the conversation. You are in the ether. You are in the thing that matters. And I think that means a lot. And if you're a fan at a program like Kentucky, that's what you want to have consistently. If you can just have that consistently, and then you have the magical November come together, or the schedule come together in November, that's when you can maybe make the playoff. But you have to do that, I think, consistently to give yourself a chance. And that would be a great sign, I think, considering the start, that they were able to recover and maybe create that. Now, they got to go win these games. It's easier said than done. I wouldn't even say it's the favorite, because they can't win a home game, and two of them are toss-up games, I would say. But it's possible. It's more than possible. It's definitely achievable. And if they go and do that, they could be in a great spot. So, yeah, Nick, like, if you're in – they might not be the first four out if they're 6-2, but they're in the next four out, I would say. You're ranked, and you are in the conversation. And go on Halloween week, if you can handle business in these next three games.
Yeah. If teams fall by the wayside too, like that's the other thing. A lot of these other teams are going to be playing each other. Attrition has to happen. And the door's kind of open for you to come in and take care of some business. But like you said, you do have to take care of business in these next three games. Florida, who knows what the hell they're going to be by the end of this month. It might be DJ Lagway time. It might be Fire Billy Napier time. Like, that's pretty wide open. Auburn, Hugh Freeze is playing the future quarterback card really early. Deuce Knight, Deuce Knight's got to be from Bama, right? He's from down there.
Mississippi.
Okay, but he's from not too far away. He was committed to Notre Dame, top 200 guy who, I saw a Notre Dame reporter joke, like, how many home games does Auburn have? Because he was committed to Notre Dame and just visiting Auburn every week. He finally flipped tonight. That felt like whenever I really need to break the glass in case of emergency, we're going to get Deuce to pop, make that official to kind of buy me some time here. And he's having to break that early because his quarterbacks keep throwing pick sixes. They're on bye this week, correct?
At Georgia.
Oh, what could go wrong?
They're at Georgia. They're at Georgia, at Missouri, I believe is how it shakes out, and then at Kentucky.
There we go.
They have this weird schedule where they played five home games, and they go three on the road, and then they have only one more home road game after that. They have eight home games total. But they've kind of ruined their opportunity to have a big season with some of these losses. And they're a weird team because they keep – like, they're winning these box scores. They've won probably the box score, I think, in all these games, but they've lost because turnovers have been catastrophic. So if they could figure that out, they could kind of be a bear to deal with potentially, but they haven't figured that out yet. And so that's where they're at. In Florida, you're right. If UCF wins Saturday, if they were going to pull the plug, that feels like the time to do it. Then they go to Tennessee. You know, you just don't know. Like, you do not know with Florida whether they're even going to be. It's hard to even try to predict it. You just kind of have to let that play out. But again, that's Kentucky kind of has their number. They beat Billy Napier by combined, I don't know, 30 points or so. So
something like that. Last year got pretty ugly. That was fun. It was a lot of fun. I'd like to keep doing that. Would love to rack up four in a row. I wanted to mention some more breaking news out of the SEC, but first I need to tell you about our friends at Game Time. Kentucky doesn't have a game this week, but you can go to another one thanks to our friends at Game Time. You think it'd be fun to go to old Papa John's? Is that what they're calling it still? Pizza Palace? So. It's not that. Okay. Maybe you do want to go down to Athens to scout
Blake Notre Dame Close Stadium, I think, is the new name.
Oh, that's okay. That's a good name for that stadium. But you could go between the hedges, do a little Connor Stallions scouting ahead of time, a little advanced scouting. I know Nashville, they're hosting Bama this weekend. That's not an easy ticket at First Bank Stadium, but it is with Game Time, the fastest, most efficient way to get tickets for any event on the web, whether it's going to college football games or concerts, comedy shows, whatever it might be. Game Time has got you covered, and we have you covered at Game Time. That's right. First time users, use the promo code KSR and you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. So download the Game Time app, redeem code KSR, $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. GameTime.co. See your tickets before you buy them. Get them delivered directly to your phone with our friends at Game Time, the best tickets in the business. Like it, breaking news out of Starkville, Mississippi. You don't need tickets to go to Mississippi State soccer on Friday night. Chick-fil-A is going to be at the soccer match. Can you believe it? They serve Chick-fil-A at the soccer match? The AD, he's even going to throw in 100 sandwiches in for free. Can you imagine going to a sporting event that has Chick-fil-A? Not in Starkville, Mississippi, and they're getting it done. Good job, Starkville. You got Chick-fil-A at your games. You did it. Give it up for him. Let's fire him. Yeah. Woohoo, they did it.
Hey, I'm not going to hate on Mississippi State's football game day operation and the stadium. I was highly impressed when I went there last year. And spinning a Kentucky angle, Nick, remember the big kind of – at one time, this was a big controversy. If you could just beat the Mississippi schools, you would have a good season. Like Kentucky, when finally won at Starkville last year. Now they're just kings of the Magnolia State. Beat maybe the best Ole Miss team ever. And it's also interesting. We were having this conversation last week, I believe, just how the schedule out's just a brute. Yeah. And there's nowhere to really catch their breath. You know, they probably have this pretty good team, we think, but it probably won't look like it record-wise. And if they would just had the schedule they had, would have had.
Yeah.
Then they would, you know, without the, if the divisions were still a thing, you would have played Arkansas out of the West this year in Mississippi State, you would have got here in Kroger Field. But you wouldn't have had the Ole Miss opportunity. So it might have been like, you know, the schedule is tough, but it does present you with certain opportunities, like Saturday that Kentucky was able to
get a lot of swings at the king. I mean,
yeah,
plain and simple. And that's why, I mean, it's just different in this league. It is. I know, you know, people, we're a little hypersensitive right now when Stoops makes his offhand remarks about, just got to play four of the top six in the country. You know. Joy. Come on, Mark. And people get a little fired up by that, but I think he knows. He knows what's ahead, and he got his guys ready for both of those big games, was able to bag one of them. He spoke tonight before Luckett joined us, and I think we were all wanting to hear some more optimistic or insightful news on Chip Traynham or Maxwell Harrison. He kept it pretty brief. Is that the right word I'm looking for, Luckett? Brief?
Yes. Nothing definitive.
And, you know, I kind of opined a little bit more on KS Board, but I would just say expect the worst and hope for the best. This could be a long-term issue, but it's still in the premature phases. So hopefully hopefully things get ironed out and he's able to come back quickly. But there's still a lot of uncertainty right now. So he's going to keep it brief. We really got no clue on what the hell's going on with Chip, though. Vince might have given us a little mixed messaging where he was optimistic on Sunday. But when is Vince Merrill not optimistic, especially the day after winning top 10 on the road? But I'm at the point now with Chip Luckett where I'm just like, you know what? If they get him back, cool. If not, you know, I'm operating like they're just not going to have him in my mind. And if they get him, cool.
Mark Stoops did mention that he did go out of his way to say that Chip did not practice today or wasn't out there today.
Take
that for what you will.
He had been spotted in a cast last week after he said he could go back to practice early in the week. So that's your injury update. Was there anything else noteworthy that you feel like is a point of conversation, Mr. Luckett? You were there. Was Mark in a good mood?
I would say he was jovial.
Jovial?
Seemed happy with the way things are. I mean, first thing he said was shout out the weather, which was beautiful today in Lexington.
Oh, gosh.
It's really going to be beautiful over the next week. The early forecast for the Vanderbilt game looks phenomenal for the Keeneland double dip.
Buddy. Have you looked at the Keeneland weather for opening day on Friday?
I have not.
High of 82, sunny. Oh, it's a bad day to be my wallet because I'm going to lose money on tickets. It's just I go there. I try to win. It doesn't work out. But we have a good time, Luckett. We have a good time.
So, yeah, I think, that put him in a good mood. And I just think, why wouldn't he be happy right now? One of the big points after the South Carolina game, and he told Tom Leach this like the Friday before the game, and I wrote about it before the Georgia game.
Yeah,
basically he didn't like the team's preparation essentially. Yep. Like they got to practice better was kind of the gist of that.
Yeah, he had a weird turn of phrase too that I had him use before. It was like precise execution precision,
more precise game prep, I think is what kind of how he phrased that. But I think even from his kind of answers today, I think he's really happy like how they've kind of bought in to that and how they're practicing right now. And so I think he's happy with where they are, and we'll see where that goes moving forward. But he seems pretty pretty content with where his football team is at this point. And again, that was a big win. Okay, I don't think you can overstate how big that win was, not only for the fan base, but for the program. Like, they needed something to kind of help flip this thing. And I think there was probably a worry, Nick, if you played that well against Georgia and Ole Miss and you came up over. Like, could you still get this buy-in from the team? That would have been, I think, a concern. But now that they got one, I think it.
Yeah.
You want another bite of that candy bar. You're like, let's do what we got to do to have another candy bar on Friday. So let's put the work in and let's go get rewarded on Saturday. And now we'll have to see how it plays out. We know the bye week. You know, we'll bring it up this next week, the bye week numbers. They're not great, but probably one of their better games last year out of the bye against Mississippi State. I believe that was a bye. Was that the bye?
Yeah, I believe so.
Think it was. It was not. The Tennessee game was the bye week. So,
disregard.
Swing and miss.
He actually played decent against Tennessee, right?
Yeah. I think they started slow. That's normal, but they played Tennessee out of the bye the last 2 years.
I don't like this. I like it. Deuce Knights over here FaceTiming Martellus Carter.
Yeah, you know, we always knew, we've talked about this back in the summer, that he's going to make a run, or excuse me, Auburn is going to make a big run at Martellus Carter here eventually. Now, I like that he didn't go to Big Cat over the summer, but they're going to make a run at him.
Yeah.
Kentucky's going to have to hold on, but that's why Vince Merrill makes the big money. So
yep,
but that's a big one Kentucky wants to hold on to. And then, you know, Ohio State's sniffing around for Marquise Davis. But as long as Bo Jackson is in Ohio State's class, I like where Kentucky sits with Marquise Davis. Even if he's not, I probably still like where they would sit. But Kentucky's done a lot of work with Marquise Davis to make sure he's in. So I know that's another one people are going to ask about as we get closer to December. But Auburn with Martellus Carter was always one I think you got to watch out for. But
yeah.
But have the way Kentucky's playing defense right now, Nick, I think there's a lot to sell there. Their NIL situation for the in-state kids has been pretty strong. The track record's strong getting these guys to get signed.
In other recruiting news, Kentucky did use the top 10 win to pick up a commitment. Jaden Clark announced his commitment to the Cats on Tuesday night. And it feels a little unusual, Luckett, because I don't know, they've just gone back and forth for a while. And you thought, okay, well, if they go all in and they want him, they'll probably get him. But you didn't really know where they stood. He was supposed to camp over the summer. They got pushed back, and then it just never happened. So you wondered if the relationship would ever happen, right? You wondered if they were ever going to make it to the dance together. But he's played well this fall, coming off injury. Last year, it was a knee that kept him out for his entire junior season. So he's looked good this fall. They did the dance a little bit longer than suspected, and ultimately decided, let's do the damn thing. And now the Cats have 5 offensive linemen committed in this class. Like it, Mark Stoops brought in Eric Wolfer and said, go get some offensive linemen. He's going and getting some offensive linemen.
8 players from Ohio out of 18 in this class. They're hammering away in the Buckeye State. 5 offensive linemen, as you mentioned, Nick. 3 of these guys I would classify as true tackles. Jameel Atkins, out of Ohio. Brian August, out of South Florida. And then Darren Stray, which is kind of their big win.
Yeah.
At the position, top 500 player out of Michigan. And then Tucker Caddis is more, I think, he plays tackle for Cincinnati St. X, but he's going to play guard. And I think he's more of your big, powerful, north-south displacement guard, guy who can create movement at the line of scrimmage. I think we all know Isaac Spike Soles was a top target for them. NC State won that recruitment. He was mainly a center prospect. I think you look at Jaden Clark. He plays tackle for Clayton, Ohio, Northmont, which is in the Dayton area.
Mm-hmm.
I think you see him. The first thing that stands out is – to me, he needs play strength. He needs mass. Like, he's got to gain some weight. Now, a lot, some of this can be from just he didn't, you know, didn't play his junior year. Maybe not his weight training wasn't up because he couldn't do anything because of his knee. But you look at the picture we have on the site with him and Vince and Cedric Works, he just looks skinny. Like, he needs, for a lineman, he needs to add some weight. Mm-hmm. So you look, but you look at his kind of play traits, plays with good pad level. He shows some like good athleticism in pass pro. He can move around as a puller. He climbs to the second level, I think, very well and plays under control and can get his hands on smaller, quicker defenders. You see they missed on Spike Soles. There might, mm-hmm. the plan might just be to play him at center. Like, if you were to ask me what's his future position, he kind of looks like a center body type for what Kentucky wants to do to me. And so that could have been the pivot here, right? You miss on Spike Soles, pivot to Clark. Think he could play center. His tape is good. They're good enough that what we've seen from a senior film. You needed to see that. And so that's who they have. And again, addressing offensive line was critical. Five guys. And to me, they've addressed every position. They've addressed center, they've addressed guard, and they've addressed tackle in the class.
They're loading up. They've got a lot of guys. Still some more room to grow, though. I find it fascinating that we kind of went full speed ahead with the house settlement, and then we've slowed down. So coaches were ready to just really pile on in the rosters, but have had to kind of like, maybe Stoops, we can't sign 30 people.
Stoops talked about that today.
Oh, okay.
It was basically like, yes, we're in a holding pattern, but we've had conversations and we are moving forward as if there's going to be a bump in the numbers.
Okay.
As of now. But okay. He did start that by saying we're waiting on the final ruling from the judge in California. But I mean, that is something they're having to work through.
Stay out loud. Like, right, like, we don't know how many players we can get because of a judge in California. What? Wait, this is ridiculous. This is the dumbest sport. I don't understand it. I don't know how we got to this point. I mean, I kind of sort of do, but it is ridiculous when you just say it out loud. Like, is some kid, and like, to think about it from just a more personal level too, if you know any kids that played college sports, like the chance, I could go be a scholarship athlete at Kentucky, or I might have to go G5 based on what some judge in California says. It's just a ridiculous notion to try to have to wrap your arms around.
Yeah, and I wonder if that'll make the February signing period this year more exciting than it has been in the past.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're certainly right about that. But they do have a couple of guys that are potential in flip watch. I don't know exactly who the staff will be out seeing Friday night, but they almost surely will for the bye week be out and about watching some of their prospective players. But we've got some more intel on KS board. And Nicholas Smith, he picked up a Bama offer, Luckett. And he told Polacek today on KSR Plus that, like, he's like, no, I'm not visiting. I'm only committed to Kentucky. But I always wondered, like, is he's a take? What, you know, tell me on this guy. And Alabama's like, yeah, we want that guy. I mean, you mentioned Martellus Carter and Auburn earlier. There's guys that fit a certain profile where, you know, you're going to have to fight some big boys off from. Nicholas Smith did not fit your typical profile of guys that you got to fight Bama off for. I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, he's a guy just, you know, when you hear like Lane Kiffin talk this week about Kentucky, it was like they're long, they're athletic, they're big in the front. Nicholas Smith fits all of that.
Yeah.
He needs some development, but he's got things you cannot teach with his size, length, and movement ability. And if it puts on weight and he puts it together, he can become a really good player, you know? And then you add him with a guy like Javion Campbell. Like, they got, again, they're doing a really good job, I think, just building out this defensive line. Like, they're doing an excellent job kind of building their front to sustain. And I think that you got to give them credit for Smith. That was a good kind of, they took a risk there. They stuck their neck out really before anyone else did, but that's looking like a wise move on their part. Now, there's some development still needed with him, but he's got traits that are just hard to find from a play style standpoint.
But that, like you said, that he's at least he's locked in. He's not being deterred by the old Crimson Tide, who they look pretty good. They looked pretty good last weekend. We'll see how they do in Nashville against Vandy. That game is a little bit more of an expensive ticket. I'm looking forward to going down there when the stadium's finished. Do we think it'll be done by next year? Is that their goal? Feels like it's been a long time coming.
I would assume so, but we'll see.
You never know. State of Vanderbilt football.
It's an interesting matchup. Did you see Clark Lee's comment today about pace of play against Alabama?
10 possessions.
I want to have less than 10 possessions. We know how Mark Stoops likes to play football. That's an interesting – when we'll talk about it when it gets here, but the matchup is interesting.
Yeah.
From that aspect.
We've got some interesting matchups that we'll talk about, our favorite picks in the Pigskin preview tomorrow, which
– 3-0 mark for me last week. So you get over there.
Hey, I had Cats money line. I was preaching the gospel, so that counts for all of my misses because I had lots of other misses.
Yeah.
We still got one, though. My lock got home. Shout out Rutgers.
There you go. Luckett's locks, I believe, is 17-12-1 ATS on picks this year. So that's like 58%. That's good cover percentage. You're making money that way if you're just blind betting it. So make sure you check that out Friday at KSR Plus.
I do this thing, too. I mean – part of it's bye week, and I've got to be at a wedding this weekend. Going to be in it, going to be officiating in it. So, well, a lot of responsibility. So, in my mind, I get the big win. I'm riding high. I haven't even thought, like, I forgot that we can gamble in the games this weekend. Like, I'm just so bye week mode where I'm like, ah. But then at the same time, like, if I just see a little bit of football, I'm going to want to watch more. I'm going to want to watch the scratch more than it. So, we're going to have to do our homework tonight, but we do have to get out of here. We're going to enjoy some of this bye week. Luckett, I hope you really get to soak this one in, unbutton that top button, kick back a little bit. You know, we work too hard.
Yeah, definitely going to watch some football. You know how it is, Nick. The kids, you know, Bluey might have to come on TV a time or two. You know how it goes. But luckily, with YouTube, we got some YouTube TV back at the house, so maybe we can do the whole split screen. You know, I can have Navy Air Force on one screen, and we can have Bluey on the other screen.
What do you mean multi-view won't let me have Bluey be one of the options? Like, come on.
I might have to get on the phone with the YouTubers, the YouTubes.
Oh, man. Well, Lucky, you enjoy it. We appreciate you being here. Enjoyed this week's edition of 11 Personnel. We'll have more content for you on the KSR YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed, liking each and every week. Thanks for everything. For Adam Lucky, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Kroger.